He is not here, for he has been raised, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples. He has been raised from the dead, and he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told. Then they went away quickly from the tomb, fearful yet overjoyed, and ran to announce this to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them on their way and greeted them. They approached, embraced his feet, and did him homage. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Oftentimes at funeral celebrations, I share the following story that was one of the first emergency phone calls I received upon my arrival here presentation. I've been here maybe a couple of months, 3 months, and one day a call comes through and there's a nurse on the other end of the phone. And she says, "Father, can you please make your way to the hospital as soon as possible? One of your parishioners is here. She's just found out that she has maybe 2 weeks left to live." And I said, "Oh my gosh." The woman, she was approximately 80 years old. One could say, "Oh, she's lived a pretty full life. You know, she's probably ready to go." You never know what kind of a state someone would be in, especially to receive that information. Whoever is ready for something like that. And I thought, what am I going to find when I get to the hospital? A lot of tears? Perhaps fear? Maybe anger? Why would God allow that to happen to me? Remorse? Regret? I made my way to the hospital. And I was praying to the Holy Spirit, "Holy Spirit, let me offer whatever it is you desire from this encounter." I got to the hospital. I made my way up to the woman's room. And the door was slightly ajar upon my arrival. And I gently pushed it open and I stepped in. And to my surprise, the woman is sitting there totally calm. And I looked at her. Her name is Angela. I said, "Angela, how are you doing?" And in complete serenity and almost this exuberant joy, she says, "Father, you know, I'm doing pretty well." And I was so surprised. I thought she was trying to deceive me. I said, "Really, you know, the nurse called and said that you'd received some bad news." She looked at me right in the eyes. I thought I was going there to offer her something. She said, "Father, I've been waiting my entire life for this. This is what we were made for. This is what I've lived for. I long to go home to meet our Maker." How could someone have such hope when they just found out they're about to die? Because our Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Recently, I was perusing a book on the life of St. Maximian Kolbe. Maximian Kolbe, he was the Polish priest, a Franciscan priest, who died in Auschwitz. The church has proclaimed him a martyr. He gave his life in place of a married man, so that that man might return home to his wife and children. He had two young girls. He died in Auschwitz, and he has report after report from people who survived, fellow prisoners with him. All of them say over and over, he was always smiling. Never once did we ever hear him complain. Not an unkind word ever came from his mouth. Let me share with you one report. "When in the camp we suffered hunger, when at times we were nearly starving to death, when it was so freezing cold and we had to sleep in the snow and on icy ground, when we were not given the chance to drink water. While we hadn't had our underwear changed in over 3 months and were covered with insects and filth, Father Maximilian bore it all with joy. And not only with joy, but he would tell us all in the moment, "Let us offer this for the salvation of souls." He said, "There is never a chance where there is not hope that a soul might be converted. Let us even offer these sufferings for those who are persecuting and beating us." How could someone live that way? Only if their eyes are fixed on heaven. If they are awaiting the promised joy in the eternal life to come. One last one. Saint Damian of Molokai. A man who was canonized a saint just in the last few years. Damian of Molokai, a priest, went to the island of Molokai, the island of lepers. He knew in doing so that he was receiving his death sentence, that he would never be let off that island if he entered. Within a short time, he contracted leprosy. People say that he became one of the most hideous of all the lepers. At the end of his life, the pain was so bad that he couldn't even sleep at night. He would spend his nights walking through the cemetery praying for souls. His breathing became so heavy that it was torturous just to try to take another breath. They said that he never lost his joy. Because our Lord Jesus Christ has risen. My brothers and sisters, as Christians, we have the hope of the world. We have a hope that this world cannot offer and that this world cannot take away. When our Blessed Mother said to Saint Bernadette, "I cannot promise you happiness in this life, but only in the life to come," she really meant that. But what happens when our happiness is heavenly? What happens when we are really pursuing that life to come? The happiness that we await, it permeates this life, every dimension of this life. My brothers and sisters, when do we receive the virtue of hope? At the moment of baptism. Tonight, when these 23, I believe, individuals who are going to be baptized, in the moment that they are filled with sanctifying grace, when the Most Holy Trinity comes to dwell in their souls, at that same moment they receive the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love. Virtues that we do not possess by nature. Virtues that are supernatural. Sacred Scripture tells us very clearly, faith is a gift from God. But we don't have that according to our natures. Love. Right? We might say, well, gosh, no, we all love, right? It's a human attribute. It's a human emotion. Yes, absolutely, but there is a love that only God can give, a divine love, a supernatural love, where we are able to love as He loves. Where we are able to love to the point where we give our lives for others. Faith, love, and hope. And my brothers and sisters, it is hope that is the most forgotten, the least talked about. What is the virtue of hope? When you say, "I hope that," when do you say that? When was the last time you said, "I hope that"? We hope in that which we do not yet possess. That which does not yet belong to us. So you might say, you know, gosh, I hope I get that new job. I hope they increase my salary. I hope that Father doesn't preach too much longer. I'm getting weary of his voice. Right? What we don't yet have, we hope it. What is the theological virtue of hope that God gives, that He implants in our souls when we're baptized, that always remains there if we are in a state of grace? This is what the Catechism of the Church defines hope as. The theological virtue of hope is that by which we desire the kingdom of heaven and eternal life as our happiness, placing our trust in Christ's promises and relying not on our own strength, but on the help of the grace of the Holy Spirit. The virtue of hope is the desire of the kingdom of heaven and eternal life as our happiness. My brothers and sisters, if that is our number one joy, nothing of this world will ever be able to take it from us. We will be people of joy. But when does sadness or despair or melancholy enter into our lives? When heaven is not our first happiness. When other hopes in this world take the place of what ought to be our primary hope. I close with this. In sacred scripture, as tradition tells us, as it hands on to us, who was the only person who believed that our Lord Jesus Christ would rise from the dead? The only person who persevered in hope? Our Blessed Mother Mary. Our Lord predicted at least three times to His apostles, to the chosen 12, that He would rise from the dead. Where were the apostles after He died? Why weren't they there awaiting at the tomb? Gosh, he said He would rise. They had all lost hope. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. Why? Not because she believed that our Lord would rise, but to anoint His body. When she went to the tomb, where was He? St. Ignatius, St. Bernard of Clairvaux, other mystics of the Church, said our Lord wasn't at the tomb because He had gone to greet His mother who was waiting for Him, who believed with absolute hope that He would rise from the dead. And my brothers and sisters, who was the first apostle to believe in the resurrection? The one who was closest to Our Lady, the Apostle John, the one to whom our Lord entrusted His mother. Let us ask our Mother Mary as we celebrate the greatest hope of the world, the resurrection of her Son, that she might help us to be people of hope. This world needs that witness. May we be witnesses to the resurrection.